Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the gospel passage for today, taken from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks for a moment about conflict. St. Paul would eventually write a great deal about conflict in the church as well, and truly the church has been dealing with the tendency to split over one conflict over another ever since. Truly, ever since the Garden of Eden, it has been the tendency of humans to find ways to separate from God and from one another. We fear each other. We resent each other. We're jealous of each other. We can't understand each other at times. And the thought comes to our mind quite naturally, wouldn't it be better if those who are not like me were separate from me in some significant way? And we're likewise not so sure about God. We're not sure that we can trust him. We know theologically we can, but when it comes down to it, we're not so sure sometimes. We don't know that he sees our lives as clearly as we do. We're not sure that he won't mess up our plans. And so perhaps it would be better if we put just a little distance between God and us, a little breathing space. I think in one of the most comical illustrations of our tendency towards division, English-speaking people have developed two different ways of saying the word schism. And even now, there are some in this room that are saying, it's not schism, it's schism. When have you ever heard of an English word with a silent CH? School, schism. And the others reply, oh, no, 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 no. When was the last time you cut a piece of paper with a pair of scissors? Scissors, schism. Yes, we have developed a way to be divided over how to pronounce a word meaning division. And you can be impressed with our creativity on that one. But as you might guess, Jesus has something better to say about conflict and division than see if you can think of a new way to be divided. And he says something in the Sermon on the Mount that is a little surprising. If thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, first be reconciled with thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. And here we're not talking about pronouncing words differently. We're talking about a true offense. Two parties, in at least one of them, is hurt. What's funny, I suppose, is that we most often hear Jesus saying, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and remember that you have aught against thy brother, leave your gift there and go and reconcile, forgive. We heard him say, if you come to the altar and remember that you have been hurt by someone else, make sure you go and forgive them and then return. Surely that's what he meant about resolving conflict. But that's not what he said. And this is not just an English translation difficulty, because long before there even was an English language, St. Jerome in the 4th and 5th century wrote this, Jesus did not say, if you have anything against your brother, but if your brother has anything against you, so that a greater need for reconciliation is imposed on you. As long as we are unable to make peace with our brother, I do not know whether we may offer our gift to God. Gulp. A greater need for reconciliation is imposed on me after what she did? After what he said? Are you kidding? But another church father, anticipating that reaction, writes, do not counter with he offended me, I didn't offend him. He ought to square up with me and not I with him. If for the sake of your salvation the Lord orders you to make friends, though you are the one who's been more offended, you must apologize. Can that be right? If Jesus meant this, then we'll be apologizing all the time, won't we? The favorite gospel message of Canadians. Sorry, sorry, sorry. Well, here's the hint as to whether the command of Jesus is correct, whether we're hearing it right. And let's call it reconciliation. Ask yourself, what are the words of people who are unwilling to reconcile? They sometimes sound like this, I would rather die. When they say it, they don't mean it, but there's something there in that phrase. Or this, I would reconcile, but I won't. After all, I have my pride. man, I would rather die, and I have my pride. And I think Jesus would agree. He would say, yes, you do. You do have your pride. And be careful about saying what you'd rather do than reconcile. Before giving us the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, if you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. And Joshua, the Old Testament, gathered the people of God together who had begun to worship the gods of the Amorites. And he said to them a message that sounds like Jesus, choose this day whom ye will serve. I believe Jesus entreats us each day in each circumstance and in each relationship, perhaps especially the ones where you've been offended, choose this day whom you will serve. And if the words have crossed your lips, I would rather die, or I have my pride, the words are crossing his lips, choose this day whom you will serve. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way, and first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. You don't want to? You won't? Then stop calling me Lord. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? The ministry of Christ, the ministry of his church, the ministry of the priesthood, the ministry of the Christian is one of reconciliation. And if you don't like reconciliation, well, you might be in the wrong room this morning. You have Christ or you have your pride. Yes, you heard him right. If you come to the altar and see that your brother has aught against you, choose this day whom you will serve. That's a hard message, but a good one and not the only one. Because Jesus is not all apologies. There's another side of this message today. It's right there in the gospel. It's a little puzzling when you first hear it, and it's another verse that you have to read twice to make sure you got this right. So he's placed a boundary on the one hand concerning reconciliation, and now the boundary comes on the other side. It slid right in there. In the context of reconciliation and unity, Jesus says, I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, and whosoever shall call him fool. Wait a second. Did he just say, whoever is angry without a cause? Everyone who's angry with his brother is angry for a reason. Who gets angry without a reason? There's always a reason. There's always a cause. Did Jesus, the same person who just said you should reconcile with those who offend you, also just say that as long as you're angry and have a reason, a cause for being angry, that you're doing okay? Reconcile with one another at all costs unless you have a reason? Is there a path between these two teachings? And the truth is, of course, Jesus is blazing for us a path which is straight and narrow. In fact, Jesus is the path. He is the way. In terms of justified anger, a great deal depends on that reason, the cause for the anger. Listen to one of the church fathers speak. This is a big message. Everyone who is angry with his brother without cause shall be liable to judgment. Therefore, whoever gets angry with cause will not be liable. Wait a second. For if there is no anger, teaching will be of no use, nor will judgments be necessary, nor will criminal actions have to be held in restraint. Therefore, just anger is the mother of discipline. Those who get angry with cause not only do not sin, but unless they get angry, they do sin. Moreover, irrational patience sows the seeds of vice, nurtures negligence, and encourages not only the wicked, but also the good to do evil. Although a wicked person may be rebuked, he is not made to change his ways. But a good person, unless he is rebuked, will come to ruin because evil rather than good prevails in his body. Anger with cause is not anger, but judgment, and good judgment. And we say, phew, on the one hand, you must reconcile. even if you're the one that's offended. But on the other hand, anger is utterly appropriate at times if we are to stay on this straight and narrow path. And I know what some are thinking. This is complicated. And it's very possible that I do not understand. And the temptation is to say such things are too wonderful for me. Oh well, the grace of Christ will cover all of this like a big block of peanut butter that gets spread over everything. So I'll just do whatever comes naturally to me and ask for forgiveness later. Just a second. The grace of God is Christ sharing his life with you. A divine life shared with you. The life of Christ shared with you means that the better question, rather than how much can the amazing grace of Christ cover over in my life, is how can I participate more fully in the amazing grace of Christ, that divine life shared with me. The better question is to ask, how did Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, act? How does Jesus deal with reconciliation and righteous anger? How can I, who have taken the name Christian gladly, who am indelibly marked as his own, who plans to share eternity with him, who wishes not just to be forgiven, but to be filled with his life, how can I be more like him now and not later? More importantly, most importantly, is for us to do this. Watch him closely. Jesus turns over tables in the temple of God. He fashioned a cord and whipped people, not because he was personally offended or that he had not been treated with enough respect, but because of his zeal for the house of God. The zeal for the house of God consumed him. People had come to worship God in his house, and the money changers, with their selfish endeavors, were blocking the view, and Jesus was furious, violent even. And as our church father wrote, just anger was the mother of discipline. How will you know that your anger is just? Keep watching Christ. Watch more closely. Read the Gospels carefully. Watch for times when he speaks wrathfully and recognize that he was never angry because he was personally offended. Never angry because people didn't treat him with enough respect. He was angry at anything and anyone who placed an obstacle between the path of reconciliation with God and God himself. Jesus was on a mission of reconciliation, and he still is. If you're not sure whether you should be the first to seek reconciliation, consider that Christ, while you were yet sinners, offenders, and not having the first thought about repentance, he gave himself for us to reconcile God and men, benefiting only us and not himself. He came to us first while we were yet in sin, so that he could share with us the divine joy that he knows that we did not deserve. How should we then live, knowing that Christ is like that? Recognize that the Christian life is a life that not only benefits from his sacrificial love, the one who walked the straight and narrow way, but the Christian life is a life that wholeheartedly participates in that same behavior. He not only walked the way, he is the way, and we've taken his name, Christian. Why should you run and not walk to reconcile even with those who have offended you? Because that is what Christ has done to reconcile with you, and because you're a Christian. Why should you zealously protect the house of God and hate with a perfect hatred anything that prevents the reconciliation of God and man? Because that's what Christ has done for us, and you are a Christian. Why should you not only benefit from Christ, but also be just like him? Because you're a Christian. He marked you, and you've taken his name. He dwells in you, and you dwell in him. You're alive in him. And between you and Christ, between you and your fellow Christian, there must be no division. The conflict must be resolved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.